It doesn't matter where they have come from, whatever armed nations they have, if they got what belongs to me, I am going after them. The victories of the battles you will ever fight in life don't depend on any human being. They depend on what God has put within you. You are a Christian, there is no reason you should suffer any loss in life. God has deposited enough power and ability inside you. You will always win every battle.
If you understand what resurrection morning is, you will be very excited. If you understand resurrection morning, you will not only be excited on Sundays, you will be excited every day of your life. A lot of times when I get home at night, and even if I feel tired in my body, and I would have loved to pray for a while, but my body is aching out of, maybe I've done a lot of work today. You know what I just think about? I just think about the resurrection of Jesus. Strength will just automatically well up in me. I think about what the resurrection of Jesus actually means in my life. And each time I think about it, I start to sing. I start to dance. This was the person that was tired, but now I'm singing. I'm dancing. The resurrection of Jesus means that nothing in your life could ever die. There is nothing the devil can hold down in your life anymore. Because the devil could not stop Jesus from being risen from the dead, there is not one situation in your life that you will not received a victory upon. There is not one situation in your life. There's not one dream in your life. There's not one desire in your life that the devil can stop anymore. Let's turn in the Bible. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to start to look at it from verse number 17. Now, before we start to read the scripture, I want you to understand that the dream God had for you is the very best. God wants everything perfect for you. When God made man, as we study and find in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, one thing will become clear to you. The reason God made everything on this earth is because of man. You are the center point of everything God has made. Without you, everything else is useless to God. Everything that God made is because of you. And if you are not there, everything else becomes useless to God. We have seen that the first time that the earth was destroyed, between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, it was because man went in error. In Genesis chapter 6, let me show you something in verse 13. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. We'll come back to chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Next verse. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. If you are familiar with the Noah story, you will understand something very quickly. Now, what was happening here in Genesis chapter 6 was a time God looked on the earth and everything in the earth was corrupt before God. Why? Because the man that was in the earth at that time was corrupt. And God said, I'm going to wipe out everything because man was corrupt. So when man is in line with God, everything around him, as far as God is concerned, is in order. Everything that God created on the earth was created on the earth for man. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. We also explained how man ate of the fruit that he was not supposed to eat. And after he ate of that fruit, his eyes opened up. He began to see things he was not supposed to see. And the things he was supposed to be seeing, he was not seeing them anymore. That is actually death. If what a man should be seeing is not seeing it, the things he shouldn't see, that's what he's seeing. That's death. God came into the garden after man ate of the fruit he should not have eaten. And he called out to him, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I heard your voice coming in the garden, and I was afraid, so I hid myself. He was hiding himself from the person who can see everywhere. That was because he had become stupid. When a man disobeys God, stupidity enters his mind. God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the fruit that I asked you not to eat? He said, it's the woman you gave to be with me. She gave me the fruit and I ate. God said, wow, what a wrong answer. God knew what happened. Didn't God know? God knew what happened. He was giving him an opportunity to give the right answer that can be for his salvation. If you ever do anything wrong, don't give God an excuse for that wrong. Is this my wife? My life would have been going forward now. Since I married this woman, I don't know what is happening to me. What kind of an answer is that? I was a star singing beautifully well in the choir until this man married me. Now my life is beginning to go in the wrong direction. That is a wrong answer. I would have been a millionaire by now. When I married this wife, in fact, I was just 5,000 away from being a millionaire. Wrong answer. The man I was going to marry, I don't know. I prayed. I don't understand. The other man I was going to marry, I don't know what happened. I found myself just marrying this one. If I had married that one, I know my life would have been in beauty now. That is a wrong answer. It doesn't matter where you are. You have to understand that all you need in life at that point is God. If Adam had understood that it was not an excuse for what happened in the past, it was understanding that God, you are my answer. I have missed it, but you are my answer. If you have missed it in life, it's not important. At this point, God is your answer. God turned to the woman. What happened? Instead of the woman also providing a good answer, he said, is the serpent that beguiled me? He deceived me. That's why I ate. Wrong answer. What should they have said? I'm sorry, Lord, but you are my answer. You are my deliverance. You are my salvation. I missed it. I did what I shouldn't have done. But help me. Where do I go from here? If you are here today, if life is not on course until you came here, you have the right answer in your mouth today. You will find a way of life. Your life will find the right course again, and you will achieve the destiny of your life. If there have been challenges in your life, if there have been plagues, setbacks in your life, that is before now. From today, wisdom is come to you, and you will take advantage of the salvation that God is to you so that your life can find its destiny. 3:17. And then he said unto the man, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shall not eat of it. cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Next verse. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Next verse. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. When man provided the wrong answer, he got the wrong response. God said, you lost the chance. Now this is what is going to happen. God began to meet penalties on the man. He dished out penalties on the man. But take note of something that is going to gladden your heart. Take us to verse 18. He said, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee. He didn't say you shall become thorns and thistles. Go to the verse before. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. He said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. When God was speaking to the serpent, he said, cursed art thou. He cursed the serpent. But when he was speaking to man, he didn't curse man. Brothers and sisters, God so loved you that he cannot place a curse on your life. When he got to man, even though he was angry, he looked at the man. He said, man, I won't curse you. I will curse the ground for your sake. Because of what you did, I will curse the ground. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, the Bible said, God blessed man. He blessed you and I. God blessed you and I. He put a blessing on you. God blessed you. He blessed you and me. God so heaped blessing on you that even himself could not curse you anymore. The devil could be angry. I am blessed. He's angry, but I'm blessed. Even if he makes you to tell a lie, he makes you to do something wrong, and he says, yes, now I got you. You know what you do? Just leave there and say, hey, you lie, devil. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. God so blessed you that even God himself could not curse you. So the devil can't curse you. There is no enemy that can curse you. There is no demon that can curse you. There is no challenge in life that can curse you. You are blessed. Even if you miss it in life, I'm telling you, it's irrelevant because God remains your answer. Go to verse 15. Now, when God was talking to serpent, he said these things, listen. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I will put enmity between thee. I explained that when God was talking to serpent, he wasn't just talking to serpent as a snake. He was talking to serpent as the representative of the kingdom of darkness. At that point in time, Satan hid himself inside the serpent. That was why he was able to beguile Eve. He was able to deceive Eve. It wasn't just serpent that was talking in there. It was Satan himself. So God knew that Satan was in there, and he was addressing the kingdom of darkness. He said, I will put enmity between. Now, when he said between thee and the woman, it wasn't just talking about Eve. It was talking about human race. Now, he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Her seed, woman don't have seed. Woman don't have seed. Woman only carry the seed that the man brings to her. So, beware what God's saying between, he says, and between thy seed and her seed. So, God was talking about a woman that was going to carry a seed that didn't come from a man. And that was a virgin that was going to become pregnant with a child that didn't come from a man. So at the judgment seat, when God was judging what happened in the Garden of Eden where man fell, God was making a solution for the problem of a man. And between thy seed and her seed, that is the seed of a woman, a virgin that will carry a baby in her womb. That baby, when it says when that baby comes out, it says it shall bruise thy head. Which means when Jesus comes out of that womb of a virgin, he will bruise the kingdom of darkness. And thou kingdom of darkness, thou shall bruise his heel. You will bruise the heel of that seed of the woman. So God was saying, when that child comes out of the womb of the virgin, the kingdom of darkness is going to crucify him. You know how Jesus was crucified. He's going to crucify him. But even though you crucify him, through death, you are going to be defeated by that seed that comes from a virgin. Now, when God said that, Satan didn't understand what God was talking about. If he understood, he would never let that happen. He would have watched out for every child that is born of a virgin. So he didn't know what God was saying. The wisdom of God is awesome. When Jesus was born, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son. So you know this was the angel talking about Jesus being born of a virgin. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus is the Greek rendering of the Hebrew name Yehoshua, which means Savior. Psalms 107, verse 20. I told you some time ago that when God is bringing salvation for any situation in your life, he brings salvation in his words. He sent his words. In Psalms 107, verse 20, the Bible says he sent forth his word. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Whenever God is rescuing or delivering or saving, he doesn't need the angel. He needs his words. He could give his word to an angel to go deliver the word, but it is the word that is being delivered that will actually make the answer to come true. John chapter 1 from verse 1. In the beginning, the Bible says, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Skip to verse 4. In him, in the word of God. Now, we're talking about Jesus being described as the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. Verse number 14. And the word was made flesh. In other words, the word of God became flesh. When the angel came to Mary and said to her, you're going to give birth to a child. He says, me? I don't know no man. How shall these things be, seeing that I know no man? The angel says, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And the child that will be born of you will be called a child of God. And Mary answered, let it happen unto me according to the words that you have said unto me. And those words that were said unto him was the word of God. So when the word of God came to Mary, it became flesh inside the womb of Mary. And the word was made flesh. In other words, and the word became flesh. It became like a human being. And dwelt among us. He was walking on the streets like a human being among us. So when Jesus was walking the streets of Jerusalem, some people didn't know. They thought it was just an ordinary carpenter. But it was the word of God that was walking on the streets. The word of God was walking on the street. Verse 4. In him was life. When God said to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, don't eat this fruit. If you eat the fruit of this tree, that day you shall surely die. What happened was when they ate it, The life of God that was in them, that life of God was imparted into them in Genesis chapter 2, verse 6, 7. Now, when that life of God that was in them, when they ate that fruit, that life disappeared from them. Now, the Bible is showing to us that in Jesus was life. This life that the Bible is telling us here that was in Jesus is not the kind of life that we breathe, like every human being is breathing. That one is not. In Greek, that's suke. But the life that was written here is not suke, it's zoe. It was this same zoe that departed from Adam in the Garden of Eden. So the Bible says now that in Jesus that was walking, the word of God that was walking on the streets of Jerusalem, sometimes going to Bethany and returning to Jerusalem, that word of God, as it was going, people thought it was a human being. It was the word of God that was walking on the streets. And Apostle John was saying, in that word of God that was walking along the street, in him was Zoe. The Zoe that disappeared from Adam, the word of God was carrying it on the streets and walking with that same Zoe on the streets. God brought that Zoe back inside Jesus Christ, and he was walking with that Zoe on the streets. In him was Zoe, and that Zoe was the light of man. Since Adam died and fell in the Garden of Eden, man has remained in darkness because he was dead. I told you, his eyes began to see what he should not see. His eyes opened into the ordinary realm, but it was closed away from the spirit realm. But now Zoe is come walking on the street in a man. He's walking inside the word of God, who is like flesh before man. He's walking on the street. He says, in him was life, Zoe. And that Zoe was the light of man. Next verse. Let's go to this same man, John, wrote some other letters later on. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. You see, now before you go, 1 John, give us John chapter 1 again, verse 12. Okay, all right. And this is the record. Now, what I was going to show you in John chapter 1, verse 12 is this. Anyone that believed in Jesus, as Jesus was walking on the streets, some people understood that this was not ordinary man. He asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Some said you are Elias. Some say that you are one of those prophets. Come back again. Some say that you are this. Some say, then Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? Peter spoke and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We know you. You are not ordinary. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. He says, don't tell no man these things yet. Hold it to yourself. Now in verse 12, he says, but anyone who believes in Jesus, he says, unto him, God gives the ability, the right, the certificate, the spiritual certificate to become the child of God. You receive the life of God. Listen, when God gives birth to a child, he does not give birth to a human being. When a dog gives birth, he gives birth to a dog. When a human being gives birth, he gives birth to a human being. When Jesus was walking in the streets and he said to the Jews, I am the Son of God, which means I am God. They said, you are a man. You're making yourself God. They pick stones to kill him to death. He says, oh, hold on first. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't you read in the scriptures where it says, ye are gods? Quoting Psalms, he says, ye are gods. He says, if the Psalms call them gods, unto whom the word of God came. Which means when the word of God is coming to you, it's making a god out of you. He says, if they were called gods, unto whom the word of God came. He says, what do you think of the one that came from the very bosom of the Father? You said that I blaspheme? So, listen, brothers and sisters, God does not give birth to ordinary human beings. He gives birth to gods like himself. Because the moment you become born of God, Zoe life that was lost in Adam in the Garden of Eden, that Zoe life, it returns back into you automatically. You may not feel any difference, but something happened inside you. We read about Adam. After he lost Zoe life in the Garden of Eden, he was still walking about. God drove him out of the garden. He was still the ordinary human being. God sent him out of the garden. But he has lost the Zoe life. So when the Zoe life returns back to man, you may not feel any difference. You might still be like the ordinary human being, but Zoe life has entered back into your spirit. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, it says, and this is the record. It says, it is not your feeling that we are looking at. We are looking at the document that says what actually happened. Now listen, what I've explained to you is this. The difference between a man who has Zoe inside him and the one who does not have Zoe inside him is not how they feel in their body. You may not feel any difference. He said, but there is a record. Now he's showing you the record. He says, this is the record that God had already given to us, Zoe, that is eternal life. Zoe. And this life, this Zoe, is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Next verse. Okay, in verse 12, it says, anyone that had the Son, if you have Jesus Christ in your life, he that had the Son had life. The day you receive Jesus into your life, Zoe entered into your life. I want to give you an opportunity today. If you want Jesus into your heart, the moment you receive Jesus into your life, Zoe enters into your life. The life of God enters into your life. The moment the life of God enters into your life, the light of God enters into your life and begins to brighten every area of your life. Now, when we explained in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, you saw that the day that Zoe left Adam, God told him what was going to begin to happen to him. He was going to begin to suffer. Things were going to be hard. By sweat he will eat. Things will be hard for him until he returns to the dust. That was what happened because Zoe left him. Brothers and sisters, the day Zoe came back into your life, good life returns to you. Peace and abundance of life returns to you. Now, it's an opportunity for you to know. Now, if you have received Jesus into your heart, listen, Zoe is in your life. Even if you didn't know it before, you are knowing it now. That the same life that is in God is also inside you. The day Reverend Tom told me that the life of God is in me, I'm not supposed to be sick. I realized that all the sickness I've been sick, all those why, they were not from God, they were from the devil. From that time, in 1995, till date, 26 years almost, I have not had need for a single paracetamol. Why? Because I realized that Zoe was in me. Zoe is in me. Brothers and sisters, Zoe is in you.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message. If you have not been born again, I want to lead you into salvation right now, the Bible way. This is your opportunity to receive salvation. Say these words after me and mean them from the bottom of your heart, and God will hear you. Say, "Oh Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross to save my soul. I believe God raised him from the dead, and he is alive today. I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. From this day, I receive by faith eternal life into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I have eternal life now. I am born again. I am a child of God. From this day, amen. Congratulations, you are now a child of God. To receive more information on how you can grow as a Christian, please send us an email at info@cesydney.org. That is info@cesydney.org. God bless you.